I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Yeah. Man, Spence says, ooh, he's cracking joke. On and off the show. You know this, ladies and gentlemen, it brings me great pleasure to bring to you, showcase to you, announce to you the award-winning podcast, media outlet, press outlet. Ladies and gentlemen, we start the show in the magical words of dream it, believe it, become it.
Come on up.
Come on,
well, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think you know how funny Tony. You guys think you know how funny Tony. Tony is very funny. You know, without even trying to be funny, he's a very, very funny guy.
It's the key to life. You just gotta laugh. Nobody can be serious to me because I just laugh at him. You just gotta laugh.
Hey, Tony, Tony's like, hey, yeah, that little fossil.
Yo. Bro, everyone. If you're not on board, just come out the dance. Come out the dance. We don't deal with no negativity, low vibrational, low frequency human beings.
Never.
You got to be on the thing.
Trust me.
Anyway, old tight Joe Barrow, evening stamina Sundays. Congregation, you know this set, yeah. Old type, my man, JH17, Bumba Club Boxing, covered all day. Rob Mayer, Lee S, Segan Johnson, Afilaka, yeah, come on, good evening to you, sir. Mr. Stand Up Guy, Air Max 90, Yemi X, Southwest Boxing Media, let's go. The one, the only, Aaron Special Sawa, my champion, up there in Scott, Bonnie Scotland. Old tight Aaron, hope you will, young man. Yep, stand up guy. Yep. Andre Bukenya, the regular. Big up, Andre. Daniel J. Boateng. I've said Lee S, I believe so. E. Francis, JB. O.P. Yemi was the third man in the dance hall. LU3 Beats. And the first man to enter the floor this evening. Before the gates even open,
come on.
Big up AAV develops. Right, let's get this thing cracking. Because, boy, last night, whether you love it, hate it, loathe it, or dislike it, there was I'm not going to call it a boxing match. I'm calling it a fight. There was a fight last night, or two guys attempting to fight. No. That's a bit disrespectful. There was a fight last night. And I just want to throw it out to you.
Tundi, let's be real.
Yes.
Let's be real. Right? The onus was on Tommy Fury.
Okay.
There cannot be no onus on a person that just a few years ago started to make M's from playing video games in his bedroom, right? The onus is on the youth that has been involved in boxing since they've been 66 years old. That is where the onus is. Mm. I don't business what anybody's saying. I was having this conversation earlier today. Derek Cesaro for me.
Before you go any further, big up, live from the USA, the one, the only, the beautiful, Boxiana D. Menace. Go on.
Yeah. Wait, so, is that the one who tried bad job?
me and Boxiana's bridges now. We're friends.
Yeah, I know, but she did try. She tried, but she made the wrong mistake.
But you got to understand, that's how the greatest friendships sometimes are built and developed. It's the energy, two forces coming together. And with, you know, like when you're sizing up someone, it was one of them kind of confrontations. But like all the time and every time, love prevails. So big up.
Cream rises to the top. And they know. But big up the sister from Latin America. I mean,
you hear what you said? Give me a break, Spence. Give me a break.
Yeah, I'll give you a break in your neck. But
come on, son. No violence around here.
No, come on. But no, like I said, Tom, the onus was on Tommy Fury. Tommy Fury's family are fighting men. Tommy Fury's family, like, especially big up Jermaine Gordon, right? Especially, like Tyson Fury being your bigger brother and doing the things that he has done in the sport of boxing. No, bro. I'm expecting better than that. I didn't even see a double jab from you.
But I'm gonna be real. Olajide William Olatunji. So
yeah, your cousin. That's
his real name. His real,
your cousin. You,
man knows him by KSI, but I'm calling him by the roots name, the Nigerian name. Olajide William Olatunji is his name, KSI, aka KSI. He did kind of make it difficult with this star jumps, bouncing around, left or right kind of technique. He just, Tommy didn't know how to deal with it.
Tundi, if you have any form of boxing IQ, and this is not me having a goal, big up a country done, my brother. If anybody, I'm not having a go at Tommy Fury per se, because Tommy Fury is actually a very nice human being. But the facts are the facts, Sunday, right? You boxed a YouTuber yesterday, right? And I didn't see any form of you're not meant to be inside of this sport or participating inside of the sport because it's levels. There was no level yesterday. Mm. What level was there yesterday? Yeah, I mean, the only level that we witnessed yesterday was us turning the level of the volume so we couldn't interrupt the Snapchat money, right? There was nothing at all. So I'm sorry, Tommy Fury was the one who was the heavier man. Tommy Fury is the one that's gone in there with experience. Tommy Fury is the one who said, if it goes points, I've lost. These are his words. Meaning that you ain't meant to go points with me. So therefore, I'm sorry. How can Tundi, check this one out. Between the two of them combined, Tundi, they threw 79 punches.
Well, I mean, you've already said that the onus can't be on Olajide.
No, it can't be because I can't speak out against your cousin, Tundi.
Yeah, bro, I'm claiming it. He's my cousin. I don't business.
Your cousin. I like your cousin. I'm
claiming it. But the thing is that doesn't it show more so the fact or the lack of IQ of Tommy Fury more than anything?
Tundi, of course it does. Come on, 1,000,000%. And like I'm saying, and I like the dad. You know what I mean? I do. You know what I mean? I like the dad a lot. Talking in John Fury. And he always shows love to the show. So I'm not saying nothing ill place, but I have to be who I am.
Because everyone will come down and rough you up.
rough up who? I'm rolling with God, the real God. Not that part there. Yeah, baby.
Is it the real Spencer coming out?
That's right.
Go ahead.
So I'm saying this here. Where was your son's double jab, Mr. John Fury? Mm. Where was his double jab, right and left hook? You know what I mean? The only reason why KSI lost the fight was because of body language, of him turning away.
Yeah.
Right? Which leaves an impregnable air of doubt in the minds of the judges, because they're thinking, right, does this guy really want it? And they couldn't even understand this star jump business.
See what Dave Cody was put out there?
No, but did you see some little comedian man side it as well? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
I'll send it to you too.
All right, you know what? Let's go back, because I know you've got a guest, I believe, from New Zealand.
Yeah, is he on?
I can see him sitting waiting patiently. You know,
very good heavyweight fight. He's fighting Andrew Tribiti. We should have had Andrew Tribiti.
I'm saying Tribiti. It's Tabiti.
Tabiti.
In fact, he's actually a Nigerian. Tabiti is his name.
So what does that mean? Actually, so because he's Nigerian, I meant to know. But he's actually Nigerian.
Like, yeah, because you're honorary Nigerian.
Thank you, sir. I'm the Elaji, sir.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Spencer Ferrin has, again, pulled out the black book and allowed us to be introduced to a young man, a heavyweight, about to take on Andrew Tabiti on the DAZN, I think, 28th show. Is that
28th
correct?
28th show. That's right.
Where is that show?
That show is in Cancun, in Mexico.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's my great honor and pleasure to introduce you, Justice J.P.H. Honey. Come on. How you doing, my man? We can't hear you. Oh, right, you're on mute. One second. What else? No, I think it's from your side. You've muted yourself from your side.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now, brother.
What's up, boys?
How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Excited for this show, coming up. I'm ready to go.
It looks beautiful where you are right now, my friend.
And it's beautiful here, hey. I'm very excited. I'm grateful that I can be able to fight on this card, massive card here in Cancun. I'm just grateful, hungry, I'm ready to go, hey.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know the fighters, right? This is, may not be familiar with yourself, but what's your background? What's the backdrop? You know, what's the backdrop? How many fights you had, and tell us the story so far.
My background is Australian Tongan and Samoan, and I've had 7 professional fights now, undefeated. And
4 KOs. Don't forget that.
I'm looking to go all the way in the heavyweight division. So
as an amateur, Tun, you won a bronze medal in the World Games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, bronze medal in the elite men's and a gold medal in the youth World Championships.
Right.
So, you go.
He can punch as well. He's very aggressive. I know, like, it seems like you watch a lot of
Man never said back shot. Man said back drop. This is what I'm trying to say. Man said, I said, what's your back shot?
Little pervert today,
bro. Hey, Bumba Club Boxing, bro. Get that out of your head, man. I don't know what's the matter with these guys. You see, this is what I'm saying, Justice. Some of these, you know, these fans, these guys, they put things in their head. I'm gonna have to rewind the tape to see if I actually did say back shot.
That's my bad. I shouldn't have put a nice view in the back. In the background.
Thank you very much. In the background. TBG, you're doing that. Fire for that. Bond that. Nah.
All right, forget. Listen, we're trying to be serious. Anyway, carry on. Justice, sorry about that, my man. Sorry about that. We had to clear that up.
So, woo-woo?
Yeah, we're talking about, like, what you did in the amateurs. We know that you won the World Junior Games gold medal. We know that you won the bronze in, 1999? 2019. So yeah. I mean, you come from good pedigree.
Yeah. I qualified for the 2020 Olympics, but then had a hand injury with my preparation. I moved to the professional ranks, and I had five professional fights, and then done my right hand in the preparation to that. Just because, like, with COVID and everything going on, I wasn't getting fights, so I wasn't able to try the new things I was working on, except for inspiring. But yeah, that backfired on me, and I had to miss out on the Olympics. And then, I pretty much just kept continuing on with my professional career.
Are you getting him, Tundi? Because it's kind of getting a bit fuzzy where I am.
Maybe the reception or the Wi-Fi is not really that strong, but I don't know. It's definitely not our side, Justice. Maybe your Wi-Fi, give it a shake or...
Yeah. You need to get on Canelo's Wi-Fi.
Can you hear us? It's definitely your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it's your Wi-Fi.
Maybe log on and log back. Log off and log back on. We'll get it back on. Try that.
I'll try and work this out.
Yeah, let's log out and log back in. Hopefully, it'll work.
Yeah, try to log out and come back in, Justin.
So do I just leave this?
Yeah. Because, wait.
All right.
Mm. Okay, so he's gone for a minute. Let's go back to the Toby business while Justice logs back on, Spencer.
You were saying about
Tommy. What was you saying about Tommy again, Spence?
No, Tundi, I'm saying the onus was on him to put in a performance. There was no pressure on KSI. Right? Mm-hmm. And let's just pick up our Pekka man name as well. You know what I mean? In gigs, because gigs was a highlight of the light for me. Nothing else.
Yeah, that was it. It was the green was Lambo and gigs. That was
yeah,
it.
That was it.
And Bumper Club Boxing, I want you to understand what you started. Man staying backshot all the time. Oh, you got Boxiana cracking up over there in the States. You have to learn this too. I want a written apology. A written apology. Man said, what's your back drop, not backshot? And then man's wife, Anyway, carry on, Spence. Sorry, there's too much Jigs joke out here. But Jigs was definitely the high.
Jigs. Nah, Tony, you definitely said backshot, you know. Go ahead, you back Jigs. It's Gigs, bro. Come on. Tony, you know what? Can I see Tony drinking some drink with some straw? He's drinking coffee, but I think he put rum in it, you know. I think Tony drunk, you know.
And Jigs.
How about Jigs? Who the hell is Jigs?
Too much joke today. All right, listen. Justice is... Wait. Is Justice back? Yeah, Justice is back. The Wi-Fi is connected. Jigs. Sorry, Justice, you're back. Oh, my goodness gracious me. I'm getting too much joke this evening. Jude, man said Tundi is AI. Tundi is AI. I went to the cinema this morning and wasted how many hours of my life watching the new film by Denzel Washington's son, the creator. It's dry. I'm just telling everyone, it's dry. Don't even waste up your money and go
watch it. I'm not trying to watch it.
Dry. Anyway. My man Justice is back.
We'll Justice is back in the scene now. Yes, Justice.
Yeah.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I can hear you, or we can hear you, hopefully. Just...
Is that better?
Yeah, much better. Much better, my man. Just before you left, I was going to ask you, with so much pedigree and experience, have you had the opportunity to mix it with any current top heavyweights in sparring?
Sparring? Yeah, a few good names. I did a camp over in LA for my last, I think it was my last fight or the fight before. I did a camp in LA and I was doing some rounds with a couple heavyweights from the Ten Goose. I was moving around with a couple heavyweights from that gym, and they've gone on to win and continue their professional career undefeated. So yeah, hopefully meet up with them somewhere along the line, and you know.
What's your stature in terms of height and weight? Because I mean, you know, sometimes it's a bit deceiving looking at someone sitting down.
My weight in kilograms is 107 right now.
Okay.
Which is what I like to fight around 105 and 107. Kgs, kilograms, mm-hmm. And I'm sitting around 6'3", 6'4".
Wow, yeah.
Well, that's great.
That's good.
So, what do you know about Andrew Tribute?
I know he's, you know, coming up from the cruiserweight division. He's very sharp, like a lot of these cruiserweights are. He's got. He's very skillful. Very skillful. I think it's the most skillful opponent I've come up against. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to it being a really good boxing match. But yeah, I'm looking to go in there and just slowly break him down over the 10 rounds, and yeah, come out on top.
Definitely. Spence?
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to the fight simply because I know your manager quite well, Mr. Francis, and like I know he's got Opetaia as well. Do you spar with Opetaia?
I haven't sparred with him for a long. I didn't spar with him this camp just because he's a southpaw and Tabidi is Orthodox. So
yes,
and he was over in London doing this thing. On that, but we have done a fair few rounds together in the past.
Okay, because what we want to know on the truth is like, why are you gonna beat Andrew on the in 2 weeks? So it's under 2 weeks now. Why are you gonna win the fight?
Why am I going to win the fight?
Yeah, why are you gonna win the fight? Tell the listeners on the fight.
For heavyweight, I believe I have very good hand speed. But I just got the advantage. I feel I have the boxing IQ and I also have the power. And for heavyweight, I feel like my work rate and fitness, I can go all the way. Whatever way the fight wants to, you know, pan out. So, just feel like I got all, I've done all the hard work in the training, camp, and you know, I'm just hungry. I'm ready to go.
Oh, wow.
And mash up again.
That was a bit drastic. I was just about to ask him, as Bomber Clark Boxing said, who's his trainer at the moment? But, you know, listen, when he comes back home, we'll wish him, you know, all the best. And it's great for me to see, because, you know, like sometimes, you know, it's easy to give a man a focus when, I haven't had enough. But it's easy to give the man focus when they've achieved. But, you know, when you give a man certain flowers at the beginning of their career, you know, it's for me, it's a good thing, because I know when you're coming up in anything, you know, you just want that little bit of exposure. And, you know, once you get that exposure, as time goes on, you get used to talking to the camera and everything like that. So, you know, nice, good young, he looks solid. And I'm going to be looking forward to that.
I watched a couple of his fights earlier. Yeah. Like, he's sharp. He punches sharp.
Yeah, them Samoa, man. You know them David Tua brothers? David Tua, Opitaya, all these Samoan type guys, yeah. Their history and background in boxing, they're always solid, strong, short, stocky. Yeah.
And they come to have it too.
Very heavy handed. They always come to give a good fight. So I know if Andrew Tabiti ain't prepared the way he's supposed to prepare, this is going to be a very, very interesting fight.
It is.
So, bro, we've got to get back onto this Olajide William Olatunji scenario. He's screaming a robbery, Spence. KSI is screaming a robbery. He was livid at the result, stormed out. Even when man was trying to interview him, he was like, bro, I'm angry. I'm not hiding my emotion. Mm. Was he, in your opinion, in his right to have...
1,000,000%, Tundi. He was 1,000,000%. You know why? Because the fight should have been close. Like, he was a massive underdog going into this fight by the bookies, right? Sure. And you know, the bookies bet from the head and not the heart, right?
Hold on. Didn't he say, Tonga? I thought he said Samoan.
All right, so... Judah, because he's probably one of his man them, because he looked like he's one of his man them. Can you please explain to me the difference, bro?
Between Tonga and Samoan, I don't know.
Yeah, can you please?
Thank you for that clarification, sir.
Yeah, I'm big up for that as well. Yeah, you know I mean, because we don't want to come across arrogant and ignorant in any way.
Yes, ignorant, not arrogant.
Yeah, but yeah.
Wait. And before we even answer that question, let us, send Justice off in the right way. Justice is back quickly.
Oh, wicked Justice. Thank you for coming back.
Before we go in, can you explain the difference between Tonga and Samoa? Because I said you were Samoan and someone said, no, you're Tonga.
I'm half. I was born and raised in Australia, but they're just separate islands. They're just separate islands. One of them is Tonga and the other one is Samoa.
And which one was you? Where are you from?
So my mum is from Samoa and my dad is born in Tonga, but I was born in Australia.
Right, okay. So you're half and half.
So you're half and half.
Yeah,
so my man that tried to rush me, relax, because he's half Samoan as well. So I wasn't
wrong. I'm half and half.
It
causes a lot of, arguments and stuff. So, as you say, I'm born and raised in Australia. In Australia. Those two islands have my back from the start. So,
Come on. Well, you got the best of both worlds. That's how.
Also, while you were there, did you see that the Misfits boxing last night, the KSI versus Tommy Fury fight? Did you see it?
I did see it. I seen the highlights of it.
All right. What did you think? And who do you think won?
I didn't get to catch the whole fight. But I did see that KSI was saying he thought he won the fight. Yes. I can't really judge because I didn't get to watch the whole fight.
Yes. Okay.
What's your take on the whole, you know, the explosion of YouTube boxing and where we are with it? Like, what? How do you think it's a good thing for the sport? What's your take?
Yeah, there's pros and cons. I think it's good for the sport itself. It brings more eyes to the sport of boxing. So yeah, at the end of the day, people are still coming over and they're watching boxing, whether they're YouTubers or not. They're continuously bringing new eyes into boxing. So
very good.
I don't see anything wrong with it, to be honest.
Very good point. Listen, we don't want to take any more of your time. As I was saying when you was off air, you know, it's great for me when I see people who maybe not be familiar with the people. You know, people might not be familiar with who you are right now.
Yeah.
But come the 28th, you can go out there and make a name for yourself. Beat someone who a few people know, Andrew Tabiti, just based on, you know, his involvement with the Mayweather gym. And I don't know if he's still trained by Floyd Sr., but he was when I was there in Vegas. But a lot has happened since then. I know when he lost his fight against that, is it Daconius or one of those guys?
I think he was doing something with Sugar Hill, you know?
Sugar Hill, okay.
Yeah,
so, people know who Andrew Tabiti is. And, you know, listen, if 28, it could be your turn to have your time to shine. And I wish you all the best, young man. Keep doing what you're doing. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Wait, before you go, Justice.
Sorry?
Are you going to knock out Andrew?
Am I going to knock him out? Look, if the knockout comes, I'll be looking for the finish. But, you know, it's not. I'm not going in there focusing on that. Yes. I'm just going to go in there, fight my fight, do everything that I've worked on in training. And, yeah, like you said, this is my opportunity to, you know, gain new supporters, get some more people on board the Justice Trinity train.
Yes. Yeah. And last thing before you go, yeah? How does it feel like being on, fighting on the zone? How does that make you feel?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's a big thing for me because all my fights have been in Australia, and I believe it's been pretty closed off to, you know, just Australian fans, whereas now I get to, you know, fight in front of a lot more eyes.
Yeah, a global audience.
And, yeah, I'm just looking forward to reaching a whole new level of supporters,
yes,
boxing fans.
Who's your trainer? Yeah. So before you go, someone has asked twice now, who's your trainer?
My trainer is my dad and my amateur coach, so Rocky Hooney, and my amateur coach, Mark Wilson.
Yes. Okay.
Give them a shout out. Yeah, Justice, listen, it's been very, very great.
It's been an honor. We'll be looking out for your fight in 2 weeks, my friend. It's been an honor letting you take your time out with the beautiful backdrop in Cancun.
We got it now.
Yeah, but you know what? We're definitely going to be looking out for you. Big up all of your camp, your trainers. Big up your manager, Mr. Francis. And yeah, man, I wish you all the best. I wish you all of the best, my friend. You take care. God bless.
Thank you, Spencer. Appreciate you for having me on.
No, man, no problem, man. Anytime. Love.
Ladies and gentlemen, it has been an honor and a pleasure to bring to you the one, the only, Mr. Justice Honey. See you later, my man.
Thank you. See you.
Love.
Yeah.
Go
type in Honey in Honey versus, and you see. He has a little Mike Tyson vibe still. Trust me, he's looking to bang out, man.
I'm definitely going to watch that fight now. But can we please get back to this situation? This alleged robbery, armed robbery last night.
Wendy, did you watch the fight, yeah? And yes, I don't know if you rewatched it, yeah?
Because
it's YouTube boxing. I don't rewatch fights. But let me tell you this. You see what I paid for Bud the Errol Spence? Tony, whatever I paid for, I don't even know. Because you know when you just click to pay for it, I don't even know how much it cost me. But I made sure I got every penny because I had that fight on continuously for about a week. Continuously. You know what I mean? When I pay for certain fights, I will have it continuously. Now, if it wasn't for the fact they said, yeah, we might as well just do a watch-along. And it does, fair play. It does bring in numbers and we do earn substantial from it. Because it is, that kind of caught the imagination of the public, this KSI thingy fight. Especially like with the dad's antics as well, John Fury, when he's going nuts at the presser and stuff. It did catch it. But there was more excitement in watching that than anything that was going on in the duration of time, in the 18 minutes that them men was fighting each other. And that's the truth. You know what I mean? My man had some Spider-Man style.
Right? Bumbleclap boxing is on it today. He said, how are you going to make a man win who did star jumps? No. But as we was commentating on the fight, I did feel KSI was landing the cleaner shot specs.
He was.
I did feel that. Maybe he, not enough.
What 1,000,000% he was landing the cleaner shots?
Yeah, I felt like the right hands were hitting Tommy flush. And so, I don't think it was a robbery, but I do feel the right man won. That's my personal opinion. I do feel the right man won. I do feel Tommy won. However, as you have said, a professional boxer who has been at this thing since 6 years of age shouldn't even been in a points victory.
I'm telling you.
It should have been points. Really, deep down, I thought Tommy would clap out KSI in two rounds. That's what I thought. But when I saw the ring walk, when I heard the interview, the pre-fight interview, I said, yeah, you know what? KSI might shock a few people here today, tonight. And he did. He did. He made a fight against a professional boxer, someone who's been boxing, as we've said over and over again, for a very long time. He made it a competitive fight. That should not be allowed.
Listen, for the mere fact, let me tell you, for the mere fact that the U went 6 rounds, yeah, right? And he was in it. And the mere fact that he could even have the audacity to believe that he won the fight, yeah?
Yeah. It's like a disrespect, isn't it?
It's a disrespect. They should have given him the win. They should have gave him, thank you very much. Sis has to agree. They should have gave it to KSI. Just to teach.
Just for the disrespect. Yeah, I do agree. Well, you know what? A question I wanted to ask you, Spencer, was, okay, so what do you think the future holds for Tommy Fury? Does he now leave?
No. Tommy, he better stay right there.
Why?
He better, because he's a cruiserweight now, you know? He's not a light heavyweight. It's a cruiserweight. What? Just for instance, could he fight Siobhan Clark? Chef Clark?
Yeah, not now. He's 24. If he takes it seriously, if he starts mixing it, sparring with proper professionals, are you telling me he ain't got a chance of becoming a good professional?
What's he doing now then?
No, he's doing YouTube.
Wait, out of curiosity, isn't his brother the lineal heavyweight champion of the world?
Correct.
Is he not in the gym with his brother?
I don't think so.
In the gym with his dad?
Okay, yeah.
Right. So when you're saying like, oh, well, if you should go give him time, I'm just being real. For the duration of time that I have seen Tommy Fury box Sunday, I have not been impressed with him. Right? I haven't been impressed. Right? But I badly wanted to beat, when he fought Frankie Poole's brother the other day, yeah?
I'm going to pull you up about this.
What?
Spence, you keep on saying Frankie Poole, yeah? me and Manny was cracking up today. You keep on saying Frankie Poole, like these young audience know who Frankie Poole is.
I don't care that they don't know who he is. You know what I mean?
Bruh, it's only certain man and woman who know who Frankie Poole is.
We've seen the statistics on the numbers and the age group that tune into the show, so they understand exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah?
Frankie Poole. I guarantee you 90% of people on this watching don't know who Frankie Poole is.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, can anyone tell me one of Frankie Poole's hit songs, please? Seeing as like,
yeah, man's coming real. Man says, stuck on you. Yeah, yeah, you know what I'm on.
Yeah, definitely knows what's going on.
Right. Yeah, when you hear man say reggae artist, like, cool, but what, yeah, all right, you guessed that. But come on, man, come on. Yeah, you just putting two and two together.
Yeah, man's taking a piss out of that. Man's taking a piss about Night Nurse. That's Gregory Isaac, but worry about it. Man's winding up now. Yeah, it's all the same with that reggae music, isn't it? I love it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Nah, listen. You see this tune here? The amount of times when this tune come on in a dance. Bro. And if you don't know this tune, Shazam, YouTube, reggae artist Frankie Poole, Sarah. Yeah, lock off the lights. Get a rum. Spencer's rum and coke.
Tony, let's be real. Tony, come on. Back in the day, you know, all that, remember, I used to buy a bear champagne. Can't you tell you? I was champagne spending. I don't have no next to it. That was just my thing, like an idiot. When I think about how much money I wasted on champagne, I could do with that cash right now with the cost of living crisis.
Anyway, RB1987, thank you for the £2, sir. He says, top show, Tony. How many months with you to beat KSI? If Karras had trained with me for 3 months, he would have stopped Tommy Fury last night.
I rest my case. Tony, I rest my case. Because, and this is no disrespect to, let me, them London two fighter, man.
Let me just change, because I don't want John Fury coming after me. He would have beat, in my opinion, beat him. Because, bro, I'm scared of John Fury. Nah, not really. He would have stopped Tommy. I'm just being real. He would have stopped him.
Exactly. And you know what? I tell you what was really nice. I saw an interview earlier today with Shane Fury, yeah? Tommy's bigger brother, yeah?
Yeah.
And he was saying, nah, that went on. That wasn't good. That wasn't good enough for my brother. And I respect that. Did. I rate that. You know what I mean? I rate it that.
Did. It did. And listen, the reason why I asked you that question, yeah, is because I actually believe Tommy Fury, if he now put Misfits boxing aside and focused on professional boxing in a singular, you know, direction, I believe he could do good.
All right, I'm going to tell you why I don't think he's going to
do. I'm going to tell you why.
My, for me to counteract that, because if he goes back to boxing professionally, yeah, he ain't going to bring that crowd, you know.
No, but listen, but this is why. Right. No, listen,
he's not going to bring that crowd.
Correct. Right, he's not going to bring that crowd. Let's do it one thing at a time.
Go on.
Carry on. That's the first point.
I'm not going to bring that crowd. Number one. Number two, could he get up for it? Yeah. Like, I was meant to get up for fighting KSI. Because that was a big fight. He earned millions yesterday.
Did he? How do you know?
He earned millions yesterday.
As you know,
because the pay-per-view, he's on a split. So what, you think he turned up to fight? If you're hearing these little idiot man on the Misfit shows are getting 100 grand to fight,
where are these figures coming from?
Listen to me. I'm telling you now, because it is sold globally around the world, and
as we've seen with the UFC, that doesn't always translate to the fighters.
What do you mean, the UFC? Listen, Tundi. Do you know how powerful?
Wait, one thing at a time. Do you think everyone in the UFC is getting big money? Haven't you heard the story of Francis Ngannou?
No, they don't get big money. There's only one man in the UFC that get big money.
But the UFC men are getting big money.
Who?
The promoters.
Yeah. One man getting big money.
So the point I'm making is,
KSI is not no idiot.
You said, no, I'm not talking about KSI because he is the promoter. I'm saying you, the undercard, Tommy, all I ask you, how do you know? That's all I ask you. How do you know?
Okay. Well, by what? By the research, by the minuscule research that I have done. Right? Allegedly, yesterday he made $2.5 million.
Someone said 3.5. I don't know where are these figures come from.
So no, I'm just saying allegedly. Now I'm saying. Yeah, of course, I agree with that, Nebras. That, I mean, the Saddlers made most of the money, but they meant to, they're promoting. But I know that Tommy Fury ain't gonna fight unless he's chopping. And I know he chopped yesterday. He chopped yesterday. The gate alone was a big gate because it was sold out. And it's not like they were struggling to give away tickets. They didn't have to give away no tickets. They sold. They've done really well. Yeah, I mean, the marketing tool that they've got behind this Mitzvix, it's incredible. And you got to give KSI, because remember KSI originally when he fought Logan Paul. Remember that? Right. So we got to give KSI a lot of props because it was just two YouTubers to come, let's fight each other. You know what I mean? And they fought twice already and chopped mad M's. So I doubt, just by sitting on the peripheral, I doubt that Tommy Fury ain't coming out of his house with less than a couple mil for that fight. I'm being real.
Papers say he earned 3.5 million.
Well, regardless of what papers say, let's say he earned a million.
Man said he streamed the fight and still got robbed. trust me.
Like I'm saying, when you look at that fight, Tim, I don't believe that Tommy Fury can go and get up to fight no little Billy Man for like 50 grand. Nah. No.
Well, it depends what the motivation is. This is why I've said
before. I'm just gonna be real. I don't think
before I say that. JME Professional, big up Jay. He says, I think it would be a bad move for Tommy to come back into professional boxing. But I'm sure plenty of the people will be waiting if he does. Good luck to the man, whatever he decides to do.
Right, and I like that. And I'm in agreement because, like I said, he's a very likable guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. But the thing that wound me up is being a boxing purist, being a boxing historian, do you know what I mean? Being a diehard of this sport, Tommy, it don't sit right with me when you're saying that you are all of these things coupled in the lineage of boxing and you're making a blinking YouTuber go six rounds with you and you're making a YouTuber clap you and kind of sting you as well. Right? And you're making a YouTuber do some mad business when he's fighting you. And
he's just made it. That was his style. That wasn't Tommy's fault. That was his style.
Yeah. But no. Tundi, when a man does that foolishness, you're clapping with left hook to his belly. And you see if you're going to raise up his hands.
But boxing is the easiest sport to talk about. Not so easy.
Tundi, listen to me. Clap man with left hook to the body. I don't business.
Well, why did you go in there and fight him then?
Tundi, if they put it up, I'll go do that.
All right.
Let's go do that. Because I'm saying to you, like
let's petition for Shaggy's cousin. Spencer Pierron. do you see that video about a post? Anyone born in the 90s, as you get up from your chair.
Your back.
That's you. About go fight KSI. KSI will clap you all over the
place. Yo, about KSI clap what? Listen, I saw KSI. Listen. I'm a little big on rules. I saw KSI sparring with Idris Virgo. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Idris Virgo was taking it easy with him. Literally, he was taking it easy for him. But it was actually easy for him. And I was looking at that. It was easy. Like, he's not even sparring with him, but like, KSI needs to learn the fundamentals of boxing, bro.
That's why he's supposed to come
Exactly. Just come. And then, like, after you've done training with Tunde, you come sit down with me, we watch a couple of fight tapes, and you get to understand the thing.
I don't even need to watch no tapes. We were fighting the Manny Pool last night. We would have beat him same way.
But you better be careful. Job tree don't come for you, though. What are you talking about? My son, I'd kill you.
No, but going back to that, I was saying I feel Tommy. And the reason why I said it is because I feel like he's very young, one. He's very early in his career. And he's been on two of the biggest stages. He's beaten now, whether you feel he has or he hasn't. He's officially beaten two of the biggest YouTubers
in the world.
And that in itself brings a lot of pressure. So I feel if he was, you know, John Fury knows what he's doing in terms of matchmaking and developing. He's got all the attributes. Speed, power, when he can land. You understand? He's got it. And I just feel that this is a great learning phase which he could take into professional boxing. But as you said, it would be the money factor which may determine whether that happens or not. Let's talk about the Logan Paul, Dillian Dennis, because my man again...
I cannot believe... Yeah, that we're talking about
YouTube boxing nonsense.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Right?
It's what's hot. And right now, this is what I'm trying to say. You know, certain boxers are sitting down there bending, screwing, because the amount of comments I see from people, ex boxers on Twitter, they're like, "You telling me I had to go blood, sweat, and tears," and these man. You remember when you was young and you had pillow fight with your brethren in the yard? It was one of them ones. And they're getting, as you say, not me, I don't know their purses, but you're saying millions of pounds, millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but we are here talking about it. Logan Paul, the speech afterwards, he took it personal, Spence. But the fight in itself, that's the fight that nearly sent me to sleep.
Tunde. Nearly sent me to sleep. I was sleeping, bro.
Yeah, you were.
I was standing out. That's why every time I said, yeah, 1 second, I'm getting up. I went to the bathroom to flash water on my face because that fight was rubbish. Garbage.
All right. You know what? I think that's enough of the YouTube stuff. It's taken up 3/4 of the show. Last night, moving on, there were some real facts. Professional fights.
There certainly was.
In the early hours of the morning, Zanibek Alimkanuli, as I like to say, I just call him Zanibek, became the first unified middleweight champion since another Kazakh, Gennady Triple G Golovkin, held that esteemed title. He became the unified champion. Now I believe the WBO and the IBF world middleweight champion by defeating one Vincenzo Guglietri. He got Bracca. I watched the fight this morning. Zanibek, you know what? Yeah, he can fight, Spence. I don't know whether you saw the fight, but Denzel Bentley's loss to him is actually aging very well.
Now he can fight, Walter.
The performance that Denzel Bentley put up, as I told him in the locker room after the fight, you are world class. Denzel Bentley is world class, and it's for him now to build on that, because Zanibek's movement, the feints, the left uppercut, the slipping. Bro, you ain't watched the fight, Spence. I know you ain't watched the fight yet. You ain't watched the fight yet. I know already. You ain't, because you be on the phone to me. You be on the phone.
Okay. Okay. When I get off air, I'm going to go watch it. No, I'm not going to lie to you. Because that blinking misfits, you know what I mean? It should be called misinformation boxing. That's what it should be called, yeah?
Yes.
Tunde, that thing put me to sleep, bruv. So I was going to wake up to watch the boxing. I thought, I'll watch it and think about it. You know, it goes Sundays, things still at ass, all the rest of it. But
No. I'm telling you, he is a worry. And somehow, BoxRec have Eubanks ranked number one as a world middle in the terms of middleweights. They have Liam Smith number two. They have, I think, Adamis number three. Who else? And I think someone else. I can't remember. And they've got Zanibek fifth. Zanibek's the unified middleweight champion. in under 20 fights. He's only had
15. Get out of here.
He's only had 15 fights, but I'm telling you, I can only see him growing from strength to strength because his power, his movement, his speed was all on display last night. And if Chris Eubanks wants a real challenge, I put it to him, he should fight that guy. If he really wants to make a name for himself, defeating Zanibek will really, really establish him in world boxing. Because as far as I was concerned, Liam Smith against Eubanks was a British title fight. That's how I look at it. And I feel that's how the world of boxing look at that fight. Although that was an incredible performance by Chris, one of the best of his career. I believe it was the best of his career because Chris Eubanks was fire, some serious smoke that night. And yes, I'm happy for him. But I feel if he wants a real challenge, that is the man. And it's so funny because I was asked to give a rundown on since Gennady Golovkin has retired, who do I feel are the best middleweights? The first name I said was, obviously, Zanibek has to be the most feared one, the number one. But then I said, I said Adamus. I think he's Dominican or something like that. The Southpaw. Yeah, that brother.
He's decent, you know. He's decent.
That brother is a problem.
Have you seen how he puts him down to the body?
Yes, Spencer Fearon. Yeah. So him as well. Who else did I say? And I said, listen, we've got a British boys. Eubanks, obviously being the number one. Denzel Bentley and Hamza Shiraz. So the middleweight division is definitely lively. Again, it's cooking and obviously I said Charlo, but we just got to wait till Charlo's back. Still undefeated.
Yeah.
Still undefeated. So the middleweight division. But yeah, that he was the top of the bill last night. Zanibek unified the middleweight titles. Down the co-main event, Keyshawn Davis. Apparently, according to what I have read, I didn't see the fight, Spence, but Keyshawn won by a majority decision.
Yeah, but it wasn't a majority. You know what I mean?
Okay.
He wasn't a majority. I don't know how. Like, one judge scored it. Was it 95-95?
Which
I can't agree with.
We need to get Keyshawn on the show, man.
Yeah. But he's busy. I sent him a message still. But yeah, I think he's in transit.
I love Keyshawn's energy, man.
He's a good brother.
He's definitely selling himself well and promoting himself well. And then today, it was early hours our time, but in the Gold Coast Convention Center, Broad Beach, Queensland, Australia, Tim Tooze, the son
of the Costa. Legend,
Costa. I used to love, remember when Costa broke up Zab Judah? Bro, he broke up. And Zab's my man. Everyone knows I'm a Zab man. But he gave Zab a piece of right hand that made Zab's legs go all over the place. I know Zab don't even want to remember that night there because that was the night that Costa really announced himself in that division. But great fighter. And, the apples don't fall far from the tree. Tim's, who's now the WBO champion, defeating Brian Mendoza, who was on a roll, Spence. Let's not get it twisted.
Do you watch the fight? Have you seen
that? The
youth fights just like his dad, you know? He fights like his dad.
Yeah, he looked like that yesterday, but when I watched the highlights, he actually looked like his dad. Just a taller, bigger version.
Yep, the youth can fight.
Yeah,
I mean the U can fight, mate. You serious?
Yeah, Charlo should come back down to the natural weight and let's get that fight because that was the fight that was supposed to happen before.
Yeah,
the Canelo fight. So yeah, and that was it. So I think that's really the two main cards that were on last night. And so now I think all that's left is us to preview next week's. London showdown. London showdown.
Lucia is juicy
against Croydon. And I don't know. Have you seen the gloves are off?
That was boring.
Yeah, bro. It's what I'm trying to say. They need us. And Johnny don't really know how to hype up the thing. Because Johnny was.
You know what? You know what you know? At the beginning, when Johnny Nelson saying, yeah, it's 10 years, we've been in Glazorov now for 10 years. I said, Johnny, we can see it. You're bored. Not only are you going to, you're like, let's get it off. Let's get my check and go home. You know what I mean? There was nothing hyped between them two at all. The thing was like watching paint dry.
That's how they need us, man, to do these, especially these ones, these cultural ones where they're London boys, they're black boys from a certain demographic, a certain environment, and they can be, you know, they can feel relaxed, because I feel that even though Johnny is a boy, you know, Johnny is not no schoolboy, so no private school kid, but it's the environment, you know, the London culture, and I feel if they have someone like yourself, not putting myself in it, but if you know someone like yourself, then I think that I feel the boys will be more relaxed. Because even though
it's not only that, Tony, you need man to call Shub or stir up the team. That's all it is. They need to make me and you host the team, because we're the boy, better fights we're rocking off in that studio. And that's what we want to see.
Yeah, and you know, so that's what it's about. It's about promoting the show in a way where whoever you're supporting, you know, you spice it up a little bit. And as someone said, Boatsy doesn't like to talk. Dan is not really a trash talker. He's never been a trash talker as well. He's just a working class, hard grinder.
Yeah, that's nice. But you know what? This thing is entertainment. Just exactly. Like we're saying, oh, well, we're not going to trash talk. All right, cool. I get that. I respect that. You're not going to trash talk. You're going to be respectful to the no-water. You're not going to do nothing of no hype, no nothing. But yet these blinking YouTuber man could come in our sport and make a bag of money. No, brother, hype up the team. They're coming out.
You definitely need hype. You definitely need So, see if you can get Johnny on the phone. Phone Johnny, man. I want to hear what Johnny has to say, because Johnny was closest to the man them, and he would have felt the vibe or got the vibe. I'd be really interested to hear where Johnny's money is. Let us ask Johnny some questions about Johnny's asking all the questions.
Nah, he's unavailable. I just rang him, so he must be out.
Johnny must be watching this.
Yeah, something like that.
So, all right. So what's your take on the fights, Spence?
My take on the fight, it's a difficult one, right? Because it's more to do with who can be up. I'm saying Dan Aziz is the person that is more comfortable with himself as a professional fighter. I believe that Joshua Boatsy hasn't found his comfortability yet, right? Because he's locked within styles. I think there's an identity crisis with Joshua Boatsy. And I've said it to him, to his face, so it's not me speaking anything ill behind him. I think there was an identity crisis because he said on the Gloves Are Off about, it's not about him fighting, because now he's been taught how to box. You know what I mean? It's not about him going out trying to bang out guys. The thing about it is this, is like, people come out there, ask to pay to see you bang out guys. Right? And I think Dan Aziz is more comfortable with who he is. And whereas Dan Aziz has done things that of the authentic route of becoming a Southern era champion, an English champion, a British champion, a Commonwealth champion, a European champion. That is, when you look at what he has accomplished, that is amazing, because he has done it the old school route. You know what I mean? Mm. He hasn't fought for these spurious IBO, Interpentacontinental titles. No, he's done it that way. And that psychologically does something to your mind, that you think like, right, look at this. Like, I've come into the game and look at my cabinet. My cabinet's strong. You know what I mean? And off of that, I've got to give him maximum respect. And I think that he knows himself better. I see flaws in Joshua Boatsy. I see flaws in Dan Aziz. But the thing where you got, I still think there's kind of levels to it. And I've heard the stories of the sparring. God, what's so funny? My G-Pins.
Gary.
He's taking liberties. Joshua Boatsy, just boring, fam. Right?
Right.
So I'm saying to him, because of that, I still favour Joshua Boatsy to come out victorious.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But I'm just going to be real. And I'm going to, if they want to change up the game plan right now, they do. But I do see him susceptible to left hooks, right? Yeah. And there's certain times in fights where Joshua Boxy does the Holyfield thing, that he does this a lot, yeah?
Yeah.
But he does it when he's crossing range. And when he's crossing range, that's when he's doing this. So you leave yourself on for left hooks. One thing I do know, Buddy McGurk, former two-weight world champion, and Larry Akandayo, a fighter who I used to manage. Larry knows boxing, you know? You got eyes. Larry, you got eyes. And so does Buddy McGurk. And you know, you've been up against him, too, right? And if there's any time of a slip-up within Joshua Boxy, he's going to come second best. But you still have to tip, in my mind, you still got to tip Joshua Boxy to come out victorious. But it wouldn't surprise me if Dan was to win. But I'm still going for Joshua Boxy.
This narrative about, and I did hear Joshua Boxy say it, and I do kind of agree with him. This narrative about Dan has had it the hard way, come up the hard way, you know, had to go the traditional route, who many are saying is the right route. I don't know. When I hear people say it's the right route, right for who? It's right for him. It don't need to be right for me. But, you know, when people say it's the hard way, he's come up the hard way, I think people are just really repeating that.
No.
Maybe they are. Let me finish, Spence. I'll let you talk. Let me finish. So this is where I kind of tend to... I heard Joshua, and I actually thought this before I heard it, because I've been saying this for a long time. Because it appears that Dan has had it hard and come up the hard way, Frank Bruno famously said they don't give out Olympic medals in a corner shop. There's some struggle that has taken place to get to that level of the sport. You don't just wake up and become an Olympian. Training camp, fights every day, or, you know, three fights a day. Brother, I'm telling you that could even be harder than the so-called hard way man saying that others have come up. Because you know as well as I know, A lot of this can be down to matchmaking, picking the right side at the right time. Whereas as an amateur, you don't have that luxury, Spencer. You got to fight the top guys in the world, the best in the world. Being, you know, going back to the village, sleeping, coming back, the sacrifice, coming up as an amateur, then making, you know, winning the ABAs. I don't know if they even call them that nowadays. But winning the ABAs and then boxing for your country, all that is a tough way, Spence. So that's why I feel it's 50-50 in that respect. I can't say that man's come up the tough way. That means that JB's way has been any different.
What I was going to say to him, right? And I won't try to interrupt you. We was conversating. What I was saying is, the reason being with Dan Aziz, it's because nobody expected Dan Aziz to do what he's done.
That's another point I definitely agree with Dan on.
Right, that's what I'm saying. 100%. So because he's done it that way, he's done it the hard way. Reason being is because Joshua Boxy, was a youth that used to love to fight. And I remember in the amateurs, because I remember seeing a couple of his amateur fights because he lived down the road from me. I met him when I just moved in the area, like 2011, I met him and Minnie was just talking. He was coming back from the England squad and we were talking on the train and we had a really good chat. And then from then we kept in touch. And he was like, so he's always had that pedigree. So I used to go and watch him fight from his early days. And he was a man that would just fight. So people always had the eye like, oh, look out for this one. That wasn't the case with Dan Aziz. Dan Aziz has steady, gone up, and continually improved every time he's gone up. Bar the Shakan Peters fight. I wasn't impressed with that fight at all.
Yeah. And I know, I know Dan's on for this fight because Dan, bro, there's no communication that I've got with Dan for this fight here. Zero. I know he's on it and he may have that... you know, that little bit of extra hunger that's needed in the night. I hear what everyone's saying about the skill of Boatsy and doing all this and performing the way he has in the gym and looking good in the gym. But my thing is this. I ain't seen that in the ring. I'm just being honest with you. I ain't seen that in the ring. I've not seen the last brother, Powell Stevens, put that guy in there with Anthony Yard. Put that last opponent in there with Anthony Yard. You see what Anthony did. The one before that, put them in with AY. You see what they're doing. I would say even the last opponent, forget about the last opponent. I believe Dan Aziz may have done a better job on Powell Stevens. And so I just think that the fight is an even fight. I do not think that JB is underestimating Dan Aziz, regardless of what may have gone on in the past with sparring, because I think both men are wise enough to know if they... Yeah, even Craig Richards. Both men are even wise enough to know that fight night is totally different. And this is where I feel that Dan has been the better on fight night. He's been the better on fight night. But
I have to totally agree with you.
Yeah, Dan has been the better on fight night. But this is what JB may need. He may need that, you know, that situation where there's a little bit more added pressure on him because people clearly expect him to win. This is what Dan Aziz was saying. And I get that with Dan. So I'm very intrigued to be there at this fight.
I'm there, bro.
And just see both guys put it all on the line and go for it. And let's see. You know,
What? I'm telling you, we get Wi-Fi from there.
Virgil's in town, isn't it?
Virgil's in town. Yeah, he's in town, yeah. He's over.
Why didn't you phone him and get him on the street? You should have got Virgil on, man. Virgil's, you know, Virgil's our man. I saw his interview talking about me but you know, Virgil's the OG. Virgil's my uncle. So
One second. Yo.
Hey Spence, how you doing, man?
Ladies and gentlemen, Riddick Bowe, former heavyweight champion of the world.
Come on.
Former heavyweight champion.
Two-time former heavyweight champion of the world. My apologies, Mr. Bowe. My apologies. And you are also the only man to have held every conceivable world title belt. You was undisputed with the IBF, WBC, and WBA, and you also beat Herbie Hyde for the WBO title. So you are the only heavyweight in history to have held all of the belts.
Absolutely.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay, man. Can't complain. I'm just rolling with the punches, man. Making me do what I do.
All right, this is what I wanted to ask you while you're here. Because what I could have done, I could have sent you a link and you could have come live on the show. Jonathan can just click the link. A matter of fact, because he's with his guy now. Jonathan.
Wagwan, blood, bottom.
Yeah. Wagwan, sir. Listen, right. I sent you a link on WhatsApp. Click that link and come straight into the studio, bruv.
All right.
All right, click it now, love.
Come on, the black book returns.
The black book's too powerful in this place.
The black book returns. It's only this show that can get that.
Come on.
Only this show that can get that kind of... but yeah, going back to Boatsy and Dan, I'm really looking forward to this fight, Spence. I think both men are really going to... The mind games have started. You can see JB's got that kind of like, I'm going to break up kind of look. In his face. That's what I see. That's just the vibes I'm getting. But Dan is coming for it. He's coming with everything. So it's going to be very interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me a great honor and a great pleasure to introduce you absolutely one of my top three heavyweights of all time. The classics with Evander Holyfield.
Come on.
Inside work, one of the best, if not the best, inside fighting heavyweight of all time. You need to, you heavyweights of today, because you heavyweights are not really watching the skill factor. Are you not going back and doing your research and studying these great fighters of old? Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Mr. Riddick Bo.
How you doing, man? You all right?
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. Smooth like a cat. How you guys doing? Good to see you.
Good to see you, sir. Man. Riddick Bo, this is what I want to know is this, yeah? The night that you beat Evander Holyfield, November of 92, yeah? In one of the best heavyweight fights ever, especially round 10. Round 4 was hyped as well, right? And I saw you put out a question, like, what was the best fights of yours, like, people enjoyed the most? And to me, your first fight with Evander Holyfield was incredible.
Well, I like the first one, and I like the third one, because I showed people that I can get up and still be thinking. So what happened was, he knocked me down in that fight.
Left hook.
And I got up and I knocked him out the next round.
Yep. Yeah, like, you've been involved in some great fights, but the fight that eluded everybody, and it's mad, I should ring Lennox right now. The fight that eluded everybody is that you didn't get to fight Lennox Lewis. Instead of fighting Lennox Lewis, you absconded the WBC crown by throwing it in the bin.
Well, that's because Lennox Lewis would not give me the proper. He didn't want the contract. He wanted a crazy amount of money, so the fight never happened. If he would have said, okay, well, I'll take the $10 million that we're offering you, then the fight would have happened. But he wanted $20 million. That wasn't going to happen. What are you going to get $20 million for? I'm the champion. How are you going to get more money than me? So that's why the fight never took place.
Yeah, but maybe it was because it was like, in the Seoul Olympics in 1988, when Lennox Lewis came with the victory, so maybe in his mind he thought that, but and also October 31st of 1992, Lennox Lewis knocked out Razor Ruddock, a fight that nobody thought that he could have come out victorious in, and that was an incredible, in two rounds, that was an incredible Lennox Lewis. So there was a lot of hype about that fight then, about you two getting it on. Right, how do you think you'd have done with Lennox Lewis if you'd have got Lennox Lewis at that time?
I'd have knocked Lennox out. He know it. That's why he never accepted the fight. Think about it. He fought Nassim Rahman. He knocked Lennox out. I'm much better than Rahman. And he fought Oliver McCall. I'm better than all of them. I'm better than both of those guys. You put them together. So as soon as I tapped that chin, he was going to sleep. He didn't want to be embarrassed like this, so he just got out. His best way to get out of the fight is not to say anything and to avoid me, and that's what he did.
Riddick, what's your recollection of the night the infamous fan man came into the ring?
I just remember him coming to the ring, Evander's looking at him, and I was bewildered. So I didn't want nobody coming behind and hit me. So I wanted to get in a position where I could see myself. And so that's what happened. And we stopped fighting. But I feel like that fight there should have been a draw or no contest. Mm.
Yes. And that's the one where Evander got the majority decision, right?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Because the whole energy of the fight changed after that.
Absolutely, because I had gotten cold. But I'm going to tell you something. In the third fight, he paid for it. He was never the same after I put that thing on him.
The eighth round knockout.
Well, it's great that you're on here, Riddick, because Big Daddy Bo, Tony Ajayi is a very, very good trainer. He's got a world-class light heavyweight in Anthony Yard. And it was like, what was it like? Because you worked with one of the greatest trainers of all time. If you're looking at like Eddie Futch is top three on anyone. And arguably be the greatest trainer of all time, right? What was that relationship? Because I remember you used to call him Papa Smurf. What was that kind of relationship?
Well, Papa Smurf, he was the
Oh. We need to hear that story.
Come on. Maybe it's from California guy.
There was a guy that we were boxing to, man. You got to save this guy. And, you know, we, you know, just keep him and whatever. But I
Really, the phone kind of cut out a second. So could you start the story again on
Eddie Fudge?
Eddie Fudge, yes, sir.
He told me one day, he said, listen, man, I need you to save this guy. And, you know, but I was, okay, whatever, you know, being a kid. And so I really didn't take it serious. So I went out there and I hit a guy with a 4 or 5 point combination. He said, come here, man, come here, man. And when I came to him, he threw a hook at me. And I slipped the hook and just missed me. I was like, wow, Papa Spence still got it. So that was my wake-up call. And so whatever he told me, I listened to him very intently because I ain't want to, you know, throw the hook at me no more. So he got my attention. And I think because of that, I was able to go on to become champion.
All right. So, like, when you turned pro, you went with Rotten Newman, something which was kind of unheard of because Rotten Newman was like a radio DJ and that, right?
Right.
Like, how did you – because I remember – you was offered to Butch Lewis, who famously managed Michael Spinks, and Butch turned it down. It was like a lot of guys that didn't like. How did you end up going with Rotten Newman?
Well, what happened was, like you say, Butch Lewis he was trying to give me the sign with him. Rock Newman came to me one day. Nah, bro, you need to sign with that dude. You need to sign with me. I can do this for you. I can do that for you, and so on. And so that's what changed my mind about signing with Butch Lewis. I wound up signing with Rock Newman, but I thought they were boys and friends and things of that nature. So I felt like if I wanted either one, that it just mattered that I was with them.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you a question. It's something that I always ask, you know, the great boxers of old. And that is, what would you say the difference is between the fighters of today and the fighters of old in terms of the mentality? And why do you feel it? Because from where I'm looking, the fighters that are built today are not as tough physically or mentally as the fighters of yesterday.
Well, they won't take chances. I think that's what the difference was. In my era, we had to take chances and sometimes fight guys you really didn't want to fight. But they don't do that at all. Everybody's waiting for this one or waiting for that one. But in my era, we had to fight that whoever was put out there.
And also, that's a great answer. And, you know, you've finished your career relatively young. What was the reason or thinking behind that? You know, you only lost one fight, which you've already said really should have been a draw. I mean, other than that, you should be undefeated.
Right. But you know how people do. They do things to better themselves. And if you're not familiar with what's taking place, they just take advantage of you. And so that's my story.
Yes.
And tell me about, are you going out to Saudi Arabia for the Tyson Fury and Ghanu?
Absolutely, without question.
Yes, and what do you think of Tyson Fury? And how do you think you'd have dealt with Tyson Fury or Usyk?
Well, let's go. Okay, Tyson Fury. I would go straight to Tyson Fury. Yes. And I would hit him on the left hook, maybe an uppercut or a right hand, and see how he would react to that. Then I would bang him to the body and back up to the head. But I don't see him going no more than 5 rounds with me.
Okay. And what about Usyk? He must be getting a phone call in.
But he would never remember this. Let's see, wait for him to come. I wish I had the picture with me. I think I've got the picture. I bet you I'll find this picture. Me and Riddick Bowe. I bet you I'll find this picture. Cause one of my minds on the side. Shall we need Riddick back? We need
come
him
on,
back.
Riddick. He's gone.
He's gone? You don't reckon he'll come back, Spence?
I can send him a message.
What a guest. What a guest. A legend of the sport. an incredible fighter. And I think young heavyweights, you know, when I hear, you can't do certain moves, you need to go and watch Riddick Bowe. Riddick Bowe was boxing like he's a 5 foot brother.
I beat you, didn't I, Riddick? Can't you take your liberties? Remember when Herbie Hyde fought him, remember? And Herbie Hyde said this.
I beat you, didn't I, Riddick?
Like, remember? Riddick, I hurt you. Did I hurt you? Tell him, I hurt you, Riddick.
Yeah, he bust up Riddick, Herbie Hyde.
He bust up Herbie Hyde. But hey, what? Herbie Hyde come to give it with him, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Herbie Hyde was always that kind of kamikaze, man.
Yeah, yeah,
that,
yeah. Yo. All right, try the link again. Just click the link again, please. I beg. All right, love.
What question was we on with him, Spence?
What question was you on?
Yeah, I can't forget what it was with him. Oh, man, this is such a...
You're looking for the picture, isn't it? You're looking for the picture. Don't worry, Tony.
Oh, his ball.
Good.
Yep, we're back.
You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to change my name to Pretty Daddy.
Pretty Daddy, okay.
Big Pretty Daddy Bo.
Right. Outside of, I remember your fight with Elijah Tillery.
No. That's not a question. You were about to ask, how would you have dealt with...
Yes, about Usyk. Sorry, thank you very much. How would you have dealt with Usyk?
I'd have been using my jab, jabbed him to the body, jabbed him to the head. I gave him a different look. He looking for the jab. I'd have turned over into a hook and then a right hand. Teeth everywhere.
He's a southpaw, remember, Riddick?
Yeah, he's a southpaw.
I don't care about him being a southpaw. I'm right-handed. And if he don't move his head, he going to sleep.
Yeah.
It never mattered to me if he was southpaw or right-handed or whatever. I just, went out there and did what I had to do. I knocked out a lot of guys who was southpaw.
So, if Tyson Fury gets past Ngannou, who do you think wins from Tyson Fury and Usyk? Who you got?
I'm going to have to go with Tyson Fury because I think he's a little more experienced. And if he uses the jab, the other guy can't do nothing with him. Tyson is sharp, he's going to beat him with no problem.
Yeah? And how do you think, what advice would you give to Anthony Joshua who's trying to be on a comeback and it's like, you did it. You made a comeback after losing your title to Evander Holyfield and then you end up picking up the WBO but then you get revenge over Evander Holyfield. Like, what advice would you give to Anthony Joshua who's trying to come back and trying to build back his career?
I watch him, and the thing with Anthony Joshua, he don't move his head. He got to learn to move his head and catch shots with his hand. If he can do that, he'll be a whole lot better.
Yes,
Riddick Bowe, I'm going to tell you, to see how this thing works. In 2014, you would never remember. I doubt you can't because, according to you, we're meeting for the first time. But you can see this picture. I just drew it out. Can you see it?
But look, how am I going to remember you if I see you in 2014?
Exactly.
2024.
But that's 10 years ago. Come on, that's 10 years ago, Riddick. That was in Devin Haney's dad's gym, Bill Haney. It was the Fit Factory.
But I'm going to tell you something. You do look familiar to me, but I just didn't remember. It's been so long. Yes,
sir. And I remember, like you, man.
You are right.
I remember when you walked through the door. I was like, I was. I said, "Thank you, God. This is my hero. You're a fantastic fighter."
Thanks so much, Spence. You all right, man?
Hey, mate. We want to come to England and work with Anthony Joshua just for, some time. I know he's in the States sometime, but it'll be great to get the good look.
Yeah, yes, because I see you be doing your rounds. But I would say to, like, of those guys there, like you can learn just having a man like Riddick Bowe around, because especially how to catch punches. Riddick Bowe knew how to catch punches and fire back. And for a big dude, I ain't never seen no big dude fight on the inside like that.
Best inside. I was his main. A lot of guys, they know me in America, but I was Bowe's main sparring partner. Ray Mercer's main sparring partner. I sparred with Tyson back in the 90s and Holyfield. Riddick Bowe, as I said, you know, when he's serious and dedicated, he had everything. And I really think, you know, not to take nothing from Anthony Joshua's trainers, that Anthony Joshua would be completely different if he's more head movement. You know, he's taking less punches or he's catching them. And that, you know what I'm saying, would make that much of a difference. But, man, that would catapult him to where he used to be. I think that personally, simply.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Definitely. It's been a plum pleasing pleasure to speak to the former. He's the second man through the lineage. Yeah.
Heavyweight champion of the world.
Yep. And the former undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
Mr.
Riddick Big Daddy Bowe. Thank you for blessing The Fight Is Right. Before you go, Riddick, can you say, dream it, believe it, become it?
Dream it, believe it, do it, and become it.
Thank you very much, guys.
Be good.
Love, bro. Take care.
All day, every day. Listen, we've done it again. You can't beat this show. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. This is the greatest show on earth. The greatest podcast on earth. The greatest media platform on earth. The greatest press news. Forget about all them other. I'm not even calling their name to give them more energy.
It's the fight is right.
The fight is right. With Master Knowledge, Spencer Ferrin, and yours truly, Mr. Bubba Tunde Ajayi. And on that beautiful high note, let us end the show in the magical words of dream it, believe it, become it.
Coming up, peace to fingers. We are out. Have a beautiful, pleasant week. But only this show can give you the rules and bring out legends. Legends come on our show, right? Legends. And legends phone me to say, oh, what are you doing? Something in the show right now. That's why I put the video on silent. Yeah, man, I'm going to jump on the show right now. I said, for real? All right, send you the link. That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. Come on, Black Book settings. Later.
Come on.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.